Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
I'm Jeremy.
What's wrong, Jeremy? You don't sound so enthused.
I don't know. So this is the listener's choice.
You don't sound enthused by the listener's choice?
No, I just didn't know. So everybody knows we had four choices that went out.
Okay.
And invited people to add other ones, although they didn't.
Right.
But we had a choice between Men in Black 2.
Okay.
Magic Mike XXL.
XXL, yeah.
Mannequin 2 on the Move.
Mannequin 2, yeah.
And Smurfs 2.
Yeah, and no one picked Smurfs.
No, nobody picked Smurfs. We had a few votes for Mannequin 2.
Which I thought be more.
Yeah, I thought people would go for that one.
Oh, I love that. But our winner. Chicken Dinner.
It's Men in Black 2.
Men in Black 2. So this is episode 43, Men in Black 2.
I guess I'm glad we did this movie. It was actually pretty short. It was a pretty quick run time on this one, so it was quick for us to run through it.
Yes. It's not that long of a movie.
No. I think that the other one, how long do you think Magic Mike XXL is?
Oh, about 8 inches.
Woo!
This movie's about, what, an hour and 20 minutes, something like that?
Yeah, like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty quick one. But a lot goes on during it, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty information. You got a lot happening. So, this is a good one. So I really loved the first Men in Black movie, also based on a comic book.
Okay.
So I loved the first movie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the first movie was a phenomenon.
Yeah, it was.
Came out, what, 98?
Yeah, something like that.
After Independence Day.
It did, yeah.
Independence Day was 97.
Yeah, so it had to have been
98, 99.
Somewhere in there.
This movie came out in 2002.
Yes.
If you got Stars, you can stream it on Stars.
Yes.
For free, but other than that, you can rent it $2.99.
And you can probably find it if you're big on DVDs or Blu-rays, you can probably find a Men in Black pack with all three of the movies.
A Men in Black pack.
Men in Black pack.
Give me my Men in Black backpack back.
Your Men in Black backpack.
Back. All right. So I'm excited to drop the deuce on this one. This
I am
is,
too.
So, you know, why don't we just get into it, shall we?
Do we want to have a word from our sponsors
first? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where's the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butt.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Mine.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili. Baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s, sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities, just grown children.
And we're back, so check out them.
Yes.
All right, let's give a little background information on this movie, shall we?
Yeah.
This movie, of course, the stars from the original are back.
Yes.
So it stars Will Smith and Al Gore's former roommate, Tommy Lee Jones. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Directed, again, by Barry Sonnenfeld.
Yep.
I didn't say Seinfeld. I said
Sonnenfeld.
Sonnenfeld.
Yeah, correct.
He directed the first one, directed the Addams Family movies.
Yep.
Also directed one of my favorite TV pilots of all time.
What's that?
And that is the pilot to Pushing Daisies.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Barry Sonnenfeld is, you know, he's not one of those people I normally think of as a very stylized director, but
really,
I
do.
Well, and I never have, but watching this and like thinking of the other things that I've seen that he did I think he did Wild Wild West and whatever else, but like looking at him, I'm like, okay, he's a stylized guy who I've never really paid that much attention.
Right, because you think of Tim Burton.
Not necessarily. Or like Wes Anderson and things like that.
Yeah, he very much builds his own. He's also right now doing the Lemony Snicket TV series on Netflix.
Which, what we watch, because I watched the first episode of the first season, and it was, I loved the style of it.
Just a couple episodes, it was okay.
Yeah,
it was
nice. Loved the style of it.
Yeah. Movie, of course, again, Danny Elfman, who's doing the music.
Oh, yeah.
So it's wonderful.
Of course.
As always, but we've added some more characters, and we'll get to that. But let us drop the deuce.
Drop it.
On Mission Impossible 2 or MIB 2.
Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2, did I say that?
Yes.
That was our first.
That was MI 2.
Yeah. Sorry.
That wasn't our first.
That was our first. But that was our first listener's choice.
It was our first.
So that's why I got confused.
Okay. It's always MI something.
It's MI something. So MIB 2.
Yeah.
Men in Black 2. Sorry.
It's okay.
Starting off great.
Just worried about you now.
No, I'll be fine.
Okay. So we open on this show called Mysteries in History. Which is kind of like a In Search Of.
Yeah.
But it's got Peter Graves instead of Leonard
Peter
Nimoy.
Graves from Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Which that's probably why I said Mission Impossible. Because he opens the movie. Or the airplane movies.
Yes.
He was in that too.
Did you ever watch In Search Of?
No.
Okay. I loved that show when I was a kid. It was interesting. It was like, it's almost like watching X-Files, but it's a documentary.
Okay.
Except they had one episode that was, are sharks immortal?
Oh.
Because they regenerated or something like that and didn't find skeletons of them, which, yeah, they're cartilaginous. But they had this, and they were filming from Hawaii. So I think they came up with some bullshit, like, some bullshit theory that they wanted to test out. Just so they could get a trip to Hawaii paid for.
Probably.
Anyway.
That sounds like Peter Graves. He didn't host that, did he?
No, Leonard Nimoy did.
Oh, well, he was in Mission Impossible too. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So there you go.
So Peter Graves opens us up here, and he's doing a story about just another story of the Men in Black. And
is that your Peter Graves impression?
It was not really great. Well, no,
I thought it was great.
It was.
Yeah.
So they discuss a story that took place in 1978, in which a group of aliens called the Zarthans are on the run from a Kylothian alien named Serlina.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this thing called the Light of Zartha that they brought to Earth to hide from Serlina. But, of course, Serlina shows up here and tries to go after it.
I think, where do they get these names from? Zarthinthian?
Zarthans?
Zarthans?
And Kylothians?
Kylothians, okay. Yeah.
So the princess,
just
Lorana.
Saying, who wrote this? Like, whoever, like, create a race called Zarthothians.
You'd be amazed. Like, sometimes it's hard coming up with the weird names and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah.
I watched this one time where it was like a comic book documentary, but it was somebody was talking about, like, in the old days trying to come up with, like, names for things.
Names?
Like Mungor, the thing that does this. And, like, they were talking about how they
would.
What
did Mungor do?
I don't know.
Oh, sure you do. Come on.
Faces,
what do you do?
He
real quick,
faces.
Go.
Mungor.
Oh, yeah, you're
the
right.
The creature that walks.
It is hard to think of these things. Really.
But yeah, they'd come up with goofy things like that. And I'm sure it's the same. But Narana, the Xylothian princess, or the Xanthan princess, oh my god.
Get your Xanthothians correct. Would you?
I'm sorry. Some of these words will not matter here in a little bit.
Not really.
The Zarthan princess attempts to leave it when Serlina arrives. The MIB holds Serlina off while the Zarthans run away with the light. Basically, they send it off planet. Serlina vowed to destroy any planet hiding the light before she escaped to.
Okay.
So now we cut to space, so it's no longer the video intro, like the VHS intro.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah. And so it cuts into space, and we see this golden spaceship that looks just like the one we just saw in the video.
Right. It looks like a really long ice cream cone.
Yeah, like a golden ice cream cone.
Yeah, golden ice cream
But it cone. Looks just like Sir Linus that we saw in the video.
Sure.
And so it's going from planet to planet. And as it's going, the planets blow up behind the ship. So you see all these, it's just a montage of planets exploding. The ship finally crashes on Earth in Central Park, where it's found by a dog. And it's actually only about like 6 or 8 inches tall. Like it's
right.
pretty
so
short.
So it's about the length of Magic Mike XXL.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So, but the dog, of course, is like, what? It's close to it.
See how I tied that back together?
I did. And so it drops off like this little, almost like this little vine-looking thing. It looks like a little asparagus, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
And it starts interacting with the dog. And finally, it hisses at the dog, who takes off and runs away. The little vine keeps, like, wormy thing keeps inching its way along until it finds a magazine that has a model on it. Who looks like Laura Flynn Boyle.
Looks exactly like Laura Flynn Boyle.
And I guess it
Well, Laura Flynn Boyle then, not now.
Yeah, I guess it could have looked like... It could have actually been Laura Flynn Boyle doing a modeling thing, and then it just took that form on, because pretty soon...
You're thinking it actually is Laura Flynn Boyle. Well, she acts the same, so as she does in everything else. So, yeah, probably is Laura Flynn Boyle.
I liked her acting in this.
Nope, not me.
Really?
Yep.
So the thing starts creating, like, basically all these tendrils come out and makes an exact replica of what it sees on the page, which is Laura Flynn Boyle in lingerie. Right about then, because, of course, it's a woman in lingerie standing in the middle of Central Park.
Right.
A guy shows up and holds a knife to her throat and starts dragging her into the bushes. And as he's doing that, he says that she tastes good.
You taste good, honey.
Yeah. And, of course, you can hear kind of a scuffle in the bushes. And then you see the guy, his legs go up in the air, and you just see him, like, kind of going down. Like you
swallowed.
See he's getting eaten.
Yeah.
And she says... You taste good, too. And so after that, she comes out, and you see just, like, her distended stomach. Like obviously
finally, Laura Flynn Boyle ate something.
There you go. So she looks at the magazine again and realizes it doesn't look right because now she's all distended. So she goes and throws it up. I like Laura Flynn Boyle.
Look, I just think her performance is pretty flat in this movie. I just really think it's just one note.
Really?
Yeah, like normal Laura Flynn Boyle.
She really isn't in it all that much.
Right. I thought she was in a good... If I remembered, I thought she was in it more, but I don't remember. Have I seen this movie? Have I not? I thought I did. But when I think about it, I think I just skipped and went to the third one. So I think this is the first
one?
Time I watched it.
I've never watched the third one.
Really?
I kept wanting to watch it, and then I was like, well, you couldn't get it streaming. Like, you couldn't even buy it for a while.
Really?
And so then, when it did come on, I think the only place, you still can't get it anywhere else except for, I think, buying it, or we found
Look,
the DVD.
Laura Flynn Boyle, she's fine, but she's just kind of one note. She's not in it that much.
I think she's, I like her in this one because she's more evil than just bitchy to me.
I don't even think she's evil. I think she's Laura Flynn Boyle.
Yeah.
But we could go on about that.
So she ends up taking his clothing, which then he happens to be wearing tons of leather, which are small enough to fit Laura Flynn Boyle. So
yeah, that leather must have been really small.
Well, after she ate it, maybe it shrank a little bit. So she takes off. So now we cut to Agent J.
They probably fit her lips pretty well.
Yeah.
What? I'm just saying. Okay, go ahead.
We cut to Agent J, again played by Will Smith.
Will Smith. Yeah.
Yep. And Agent T, played by Patrick Warburton.
Oh yeah, Putty.
Putty. Joe Swanson from Family Guy.
Sure. Oh, yeah, yeah, Joe Swanson from Family Guy. Yeah, the guy with the wheelchair. The Tick.
Yeah, the Tick. Brock Sampson from...
Brock Sampson.
From Venture Brothers.
Kronk.
Kronk from Emperor's New Groove.
Right.
And the list goes on. Right. He's been tons
Krunk. Of stuff. No, that's actually Kronk, the football player. Anyway, keep going.
Gronk, you mean?
Gronk. Yeah, what did I say? Kronk? I meant Gronk. Okay.
Kronk Gronkowski.
Look.
Yay, sports.
Sports, anyway. Yay.
So they walk up to this flower that's just sticking out of a vent. Jay says, okay, Jeff, what are you doing? You know you're supposed to be here and here. And, of course, T kicks the flower a little bit. Jay tells Agent T to calm down and reminds Jeff, you can only be between here and here and in these parts of town. And you would eat the inedible. You're allowed to eat all the inorganic garbage you want as long as you stay in these areas. That was the deal. And, of course, T flies off the handle and starts pulling on the flower and, like, shaking it. And Jay's trying to get him to stop as he's backing away because all of a sudden, Jeff, we get to see what Jeff really is.
Right. Like, these movies do that.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie does it as well as the first movie where it kind of surprises you and where it's like, oh, it's not just a flower. It's a big, gigantic worm.
Yeah. It's like a 600-foot worm.
Right.
That just busts up from the subway.
Maybe that's as long as Magic Mike is. No, maybe not. Go ahead.
No. And so the back end of it, like, of course, flies out and hits Jay. But then Jeff backs down into the subway mm-hmm. and takes off. Of course, Jay needs to stop him, so he dives in after him and lands on his back. And so he's trying to tranquilize him, but these, like, tranquilizers are not working. And so Jay's kind of dodging things like signs and things that he's getting close to. He's still trying to tranquilize him, but it's not enough. And he ends up getting thrown forward onto the subway train in front of Jeff. Jeff, I feel weird just calling this monster Jeff.
Oh, no, that's his name, Jeff.
I think that's part of the fun of these movies, yes. too, is that they're just like, you know, people having bad days and whatever else. So Jeff starts eating the subway train. First, Jay's trying to get people to clear to the next car, and they're not paying attention. Well, eventually, Jeff starts eating the train, and of course, then they start moving. And so Jay pulls a gun on Jeff, which basically prompts him to back off. Like, he realizes, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, so he stops. Jay flashy things the subway passengers. Not like Magic Mike flashy things. a different kind of flashing.
Sure.
And so he flashy things them, and the subway passengers and the conductor... and sends a cleanup crew.
Tells them to
them.
Be better New Yorkans.
Yeah, and sends New Yorkers and sends...
New Yorkans.
New Yorkans.
Yep.
New Yorkians?
Yeah, well, I'm from the Midwest. We call them New Yorkians.
New Yorkies?
New Yorkies, yes.
And sends a cleanup crew down there, basically to contain Jeff. And, of course, Jay gets up to the street level, and he's like, hey, guys, you can't go down there, to a couple of New Yorkers, New Yorkies. And, of course, they're pissy about it. And so he's just kind of feeling burnt out. He's, like, doing this job. He basically doesn't exist as a person because he erased all his identity.
Right. He's a hero that no one knows about.
Yeah. And so it's kind of getting frustrating to him because he's not in it for the glory, but he has no connections.
At this point, he's been doing this for, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
It's about the equivalent of what the movie came out in 97. So 5 years later is 2000.
Yeah.
2002.
So now he tries to talk to Agent T, who is just an idiot. He, like, sits down on the bench, and T is like, he does the same thing that happened in the first movie when Agent K asks him, you know, do you ever just look up at the stars? And Agent T's like, is this some sort of test? No. Yes, like he's like trying to figure out what's going on.
What's going on?
But T is just dumb. So he says, come on, we're going to go get some pie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
they go to the pie hole.
Well, first off, we go to Scrad's apartment.
Oh, and Scrad.
is talking to himself. This alien, or this guy named Scrad, is talking to himself. And we hear him talking to somebody, but we don't know who yet. He turns around and we see Serlina there. And Scrad's, I don't know if I want to call him a brother or appendage or what, which is just like a head on a tentacle named Charlie.
This guy's played by Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville.
Right. This was the heyday of Johnny Knoxville, right? Like when Johnny Knoxville was really huge through the MTV show.
Yeah, Jackass.
Show.
Yeah.
Jackass, and he was really trying to kind of become his own. Why did I think because I don't remember watching this movie. Why did I think he was more annoying in this the first time I watched it? Am I thinking of the first movie with Vincent D'Onofrio? Or what?
No, I thought Johnny Knoxville was super annoying like earlier when I watched it.
Right.
But now when I watch it, I'm like, you're not even in it that much.
Yeah, you're not in it that much.
And I'll get to this in a little bit, but I'm just like, yeah, he's just not in it as much as I thought he was.
Right. Should we say that also Robert Downey Jr. auditioned for this role?
Yes.
And so did Keanu Reeves.
Yep. Yeah. And Keanu Reeves,
I know,
I think,
Kung Fu. So do I, says the other head.
Well, and I'm trying
it?
To...
So the other head says it too. Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine, like, how Keanu Reeves would have done this.
I can imagine Robert Downey Jr., but, you know, that was kind of when he was kind of trying to come back.
Yeah.
And he really wasn't. You know.
Yeah. I could see Robert Downey Jr. doing it. The one that I'm like, I'm trying to figure out is Keanu Reeves. Like, if he would have played it like crazy, that might have been interesting. But
yeah.
Like, all I can, the worst case scenario is I can imagine him playing it as Ted.
Yeah, Ted. That's how
I. And that's why I'm like, I wondered if he was going to do it like that. But
yeah, but that would be dumb.
Yeah, but part of me is like glad then he didn't, because
and
if he would have kept playing roles like that, would have pigeonholed him into it.
Yeah.
Always being like that. Anyway.
Always being like something else, but whatever.
So Scrad and Charlie, you know, basically they reveal that they are the ones who called Serlina to Earth because they got a lead on, or Serlina's like, the light isn't here on this planet. Like, we established that.
How did he call her? Did he, like, staple his butt cheeks together, like on Jackass?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
He rode a shopping cart into space and then just... I assume Bam Margera is wherever, is from space, so he probably just passed him a message. Anyway, so he has a lead on finding the light of Zartha, and so he thinks it's somewhere on Earth still. So we cut back to the diner, where Jay has taken Agent T for a slice of pie. And of course, T goes, yeah, he goes, this is a pretty good pie. And he goes, yeah, it's the best. And then he goes, there's a...
Is it the best, Jeremy? Come on,
we make better pie than that. He goes, you know, there's a lot of people in here. He goes, yeah, again, because they have good pie. And then Agent T starts crying. And he's like, oh, my God. He goes, you brought me to a crowded place because it's like a breakup scene. You brought me to a crowded place so I wouldn't make a scene. And Jay goes, yeah, you're making a scene. Like, come on. And he's like, you're going to neuralize me. And I really don't think that Jay was going, like, I think he was thinking about it, but I don't think he was actually going to.
Oh, like when I got fired from that one job. Yeah. That's, okay. Go ahead.
So I don't think he actually did get neuralized. But then Jay asks T, why did you get into this? And T says, well, I was in the Marines, and I did tours of duty with this and this, and I like seeing action.
And he used to be the Tick.
Yeah. And Jay was like, that's the wrong reason.
Right.
And he goes, do you know who James Edwards is? No. He goes, well, he just stopped a 600-foot worm from eating parts of the city tonight. And basically, he's James Edwards. If you remember who Jay was before. So he's like, yeah, you know, I stopped this from happening. But nobody's going to ever know that. It's a thankless job. Like, you shouldn't be in it for the glory because you're never going to get it. He goes, and because that's the other thing. If I don't even exist, how can I ever be loved or love anybody or make connections? Because I just don't exist. And, of course, T starts crying again. And so Jay's like, you know what? I'm going to neuralize you. But at least he tells him, settle down, get married, you know, find somebody and be happy.
I remember, like, these things being brainwashy things where you could just command people to do things too as well.
It happened in the first one.
But is there, like, a grace period? Like, you can only do it, like, a minute after you flash them?
Yeah, they kind of, like, it's almost like they don't explicitly go into it, but it's like,
I know, that's why I need the owner's manual, Jeremy. What batteries does it take? Does it take AAA?
I think it takes, like,
I don't know. I need to know these things.
It takes, like, plutonium.
Where's the spec book on this thing? I need it.
Plutonium ion batteries. So we cut to Ben's Pizza of Soho.
Famous.
The famous Ben's Pizza of Soho. I mean, it's no Ray's Famous Slice or whatever.
Right, Roy's?
Roy's Famous Slice. Yeah.
Roy's Famous Slice. Oh, his cheese pizza was the best.
Oh, God, yes. Those pizza bones.
My pizza bone.
So Ben himself is putting up this an employee of the month, and he's named Laura Vasquez, played by Rosario Dawson. And it's like one of the earlier roles I remember with Rosario Dawson. I think it was like this in like Pluto Nash. The first things
you
I remember.
Love Pluto Nash. Why do you love Pluto Nash so much?
I have a weird spot in my heart for it.
Why?
I have no clue.
No one that movie, has a weird that movie spot is, for Pluto Nash.
That movie is awful, and yet I love it.
It is awful, but no one's not awful enough to love.
Even Eddie Murphy doesn't like it as much as I do.
I know.
Maybe Jay Moore, because I think he disappeared.
Maybe Jay Moore does. Yeah, Jay Moore probably loves everything he does.
So he's named her, Ben's named Laura Employee of the Month, and you can tell it's kind of like this, almost like a father-daughter vibe, like he takes care of her and whatever else. So he says, hey, let's celebrate, go downstairs and let's bring up a case of Mountain Dew and we'll celebrate.
Sponsored
by Mountain Dew.
This movie sponsored by Mountain Dew and others.
So she comes up from the cellar outside. When she comes up,
like, okay, you're going to celebrate. Why'd you bring all of the Mountain Dew up? Just bring a couple cans.
Well, he probably wanted her to bring it up for the restaurant and just made that as an excuse. She's Employee of the Month. She doesn't question things.
She goes above and beyond.
That's why. She does not question the motives.
She's Employee of the Month. The only employee I've seen
that
works at Ben's.
She is. Pizza Nobody place. Else is worried about
Congratulations.
Ben.
Again this month, you got Employee of the Month.
Well, he probably named himself every other time. He's called Ben's. So she sees Serlina basically holding Ben by his neck in the air. And she immediately goes quiet, and she's like, she starts to grab the phone to dial, like, 911, and then realizes something else is going on, or this doesn't seem right. So she is just kind of watching them, and just then the door slams. And she realizes, uh-oh, they heard that. So she kind of ducks down.
Right.
Scrad and Charlie go to check on it. And that's the first time she sees the guy with a head coming out of his back. And so now she's freaked out. And so Ben keeps saying, he doesn't know what's going on. I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, give me the light. Where's the light at? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's pleading and everything.
He wrapped it up like a deuce.
Blinded by the light.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not douche. Deuce.
Wrapped up. Which is what like we named deuce.
It. Deuce.
We actually thought about making that our theme song originally. Remember, we were gonna do that.
Yeah. So he's blinded by, or he has the. He's
blinded by the light.
He's talking about the light. Yes. Right?
So, finally, after some prompting, his voice changes, and he's like, "The light is no longer on this world." Blah blah blah.
Good
blah,
alien
like,
voice.
Yeah. And says, like, she'll never find it in time. And so then Serlina takes her finger, which turns to like one of these tendril things, and just like whips him in half.
Yeah.
And he just vaporizes.
Completely in half. Now, why is
Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson. Why is she getting so emotional during this scene?
Because she cares for him.
No, Jeremy, she... Look, sew him up. You're the night nurse.
That's a little bit different. She... Serlina just made him dissolve into a flash.
The whole time you all those bruises that you have with Daredevil, come on. It's been training in order. You're the employee of the month. Go ahead.
So
I just really wanted to make a night nurse joke there.
I'm glad you did.
You're welcome.
So Serlina and Scrat Charlie leave and just leave Laura there crying. Laura, yeah. She's crying, Laura. And she's crying. She looks up through this skylight, and you can just see that it starts storming out. So it's pouring. It's kind of the mood out. So back at headquarters, Jay is barking orders at people, and he confronts, like he's telling people, "You do this, you do this. Why is this happening?
Right.
Why are you dragging this alien across whatever?" And it's a young agent. A young unnamed Men in Black agent,
yes.
Played by a really young Nick Cannon.
Yes. Yes.
And he goes, "Sorry, sir." He's like, "You don't have to neuralize me," and like starts taking out his Ray-Bans to block it. And he's like, "I'm not going to neuralize you. What the?" Well, he's got a reputation now.
Maybe he should do that so he can forget that he was once married to Mariah Carey.
So he can forget he was Mr. Mariah Carey. So Jay goes up to Zed's office.
Zed.
About Rip Torn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyone with that name where you have two verbs that are the same thing, yeah. Rip Torn. I love that name.
Sissy Spacek's cousin.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I totally
right?
forgot that they were cousins.
Yeah, when she first came to New York, she slept on his floor.
Yes.
Because she didn't have a place of her own.
And Rip Torn.
And he was just getting into like
she was acting. Ripped torn about whether to get her own place.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Not all the jokes work, Jeremy.
So Jay asks for another assignment.
Jay.
And
Jay.
And so Zed says to calm down. You know, you gotta relax. Don't be so stressed out. Like, you're going to burn yourself out early. And he finally, after some prodding, Zed finally gives him a new case. And he goes, "Go ahead and take Agent T with you." And he's like, yeah, about that. I flashy thinged Agent T.
Flashy thinged.
He neuralized him.
Yeah, flashy thing is fine.
So he neuralized Agent T.
Flashy thing.
He flashy thinged him.
Yep.
They say that in the first movie a lot.
Okay, that's fine.
We flashy thinged him, and so he goes, "You have to stop doing this." And so you kind of hear there's an Agent A, apparently, that's been neuralized. And then he's like, "And what about Agent L, which is the coroner from the first movie?"
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's gone through the whole alphabet. What is he, a D-bag?
Ooh, cross-promotion.
I didn't cross-promote anything. Go ahead.
So this is when we first learn what happened to Agent L, because she's not back in the movie, so it's like, well...
Yeah.
Agent L apparently wanted to leave, like, she was done with this, and so she wanted to go back to...
She wanted to leave because she didn't like the script.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah. She's apparently also very hard to work with.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wait, who's Agent L? What's her bucket?
She was in Dogma.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, she's
Alanis Morissette. Yeah, she's hard to work with.
Yeah. Not Alanis Morissette.
She was in Dogma, though.
Was in Dogma. But this...
No, I just can't think of her name right now, and that's fine.
Linda Fiorina. Fiorinetti.
Really?
Fiorentino? That's it. Linda Fiorentino.
Really? She's hard to work with?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear awful things about her.
No, I hear too.
But she decided to go back to being the coroner, back to being Laurel Weaver instead of just being Agent L. So she wanted to go. So Zed goes, "All right, I'm going to give you another partner." and partners him up with Frank the Pug. So Frank, played by the late Mushu, Mushu the Pug.
Oh, the dog.
Yes, the dog is played by Mushu.
I'm going to assume the dog's dead by now, right?
Yes. He actually...
They used the same dog as the first movie, but they, took out the gray? Or?
Yeah, they had to give him some, Just for Men or whatever around his snout because he started to get some gray in his fur.
Just for dog, Jeremy.
Just for dogs. Just for,
yeah.
He is a male dog. He actually didn't die
all males dogs.
He didn't die till shortly before Men in Black 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was an old puppy.
Oh.
So he died. I don't know why he was like, I was still like, oh no, the late Mushu. But I was just like, yeah, Rip Torn. The late Rip Torn. Yeah. He also was late.
Yeah, you're right. He was late all the time to the set, wasn't he?
So anyway, Mushu, the dog, but his voice was done by Tim Blaney.
Yeah, which you will know, Johnny Five.
Johnny Five.
From the Short Circuit
and movies. And if you know that, you can totally hear it.
You can hear it later on. At the beginning, not so much, but then when they're driving, I totally started hearing it.
When he's singing, you can hear it a lot more.
Yeah.
Mostly because he's singing, Los Locos kick your ass, Los Locos kick your face.
Not enough gangs have theme songs.
So Frank has been working in the mailroom, and this is his chance to get out there and actually be an agent. So he joins Jay, and it's adorable. He has on a little suit with a little white shirt and
is it adorable?
Tie.
It's almost too adorable for me.
If he would have had it the whole time, I would have been probably more irritated.
No, I mean having the dog, I thought the dog was used too much. He is adorable, but it's almost too adorable.
He was a fan favorite in the first movie.
Right.
And I'm trying to remember, around this time too, or actually before this, they had a Men in Black cartoon.
Right.
Where you got all of a sudden these throwaway characters like Frank and the Worm guys. All got big roles.
Well, yeah, because cartoon, you figure it would, Slimer and the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but think about that. In Ghostbusters 2, Slimer all of a sudden was in it, he was their buddy.
It wasn't in it that much.
No. I mean, these other ones aren't in it all that much. Frank's got the most elaborate.
Look, the dog's cute. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
The dog talking is cute. The voice is great. It's almost too cute. I almost feel like they're pandering to the audience a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Which I think they are. Because
they are in this
you're
movie.
Also getting a lot of people who are into the cartoon, I think.
Right. That makes sense.
So they're driving. And, of course, Jay's like, you got to take the suit off. I'm not walking around with that. Although, if I was ever to get a pug, I would make it wear the little suit all the time. It's adorable. Anyway, he tells him to lose the suit.
You leave Tootie out of this. Damn you,
Tootie. Pugopoly. Tootie.
Tootie and Pugopoly. Okay, no one's going to get that joke. Keep going.
That joke is for six people.
For three people.
Six people, and we are two of them.
Yep.
So they're driving, and of course he's singing I Will Survive out the window. And goes on for I was just kind of okay, it goes on for a while.
Too much.
Without additional dialogue. I get it was cute for a second, but then I was like, why is this
That's
scene
That's
why
I'm
here?
Saying it's almost too cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have, if they would have expanded on that, it's adorable. He's got his head out the window while they're driving. I like that. So they get to the pizza shop, and there are multiple agents there, including Jay Johnston of Mr. Show.
Mr. Show and the Tonight Smashing Pumpkins video.
There you go.
There you go.
And Joel McKinnon Miller of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Hitchcock? No, Hitchcock's the other
one. No, he's Scully.
He's Scully.
Yeah. And so there's an agent who's just telling Laura to calm down. And, of course, Jay's like, oh, knock that off. He's like, she doesn't have to be calm right now. She just saw something terrible. So he goes and he starts talking to her. And he reveals that Ben was an alien, and it was just wearing a suit that's basically made of something similar to, like, gum. Like, it's a rubber.
Oh, he says, like, those trading cards gum.
Yeah, like the trading card gum.
Yeah, so and it was so, made out of brick.
Yes. Like, made out of jagged plastic. So he is like, you know what, let's get out of here. This place is, you know, got bad memories. Let's go and we'll talk. So he goes and takes her out.
Do you like pie?
Yeah, so he goes to take her out for pie. So he gets the info. He learns that they're after the light, which is what she overheard them saying. Jay is getting ready to neuralize her when he gets a call, basically saying he's needed somewhere else. So then he doesn't end up neuralizing her. Something stops him from it. He's interested in her. He really likes her, so he stops. Which is against protocol. He should be neuralizing her.
Yeah. He wants to see her, Pluto Nash.
He wants the flashy thing, her.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But not neuralize her.
Sure.
Anyway, so Jay and Frank go to the park. Apparently the other men in black have found the Kylothian pod. So Zed says,
there's a Kylothian pod challenge out there. Do not eat them,
yeah,
people. Oh, how many times I gotta tell you that?
Although Kylothian pods are great for your laundry.
Yes. From what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get the alien goo out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It does it by boiling your laundry. Lara Flynn boiling your laundry. So Zed said Zerlina couldn't be after the light, because Jade kind of says what the conversation was. He said she couldn't be after the light. It was I ordered it off the planet 20 plus years ago. And the agent who did it, you know, he got rid of it. Just, I know he would, because I gave him an order and he would have followed that to the T. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no question. And he goes, well, you know, can we talk to that agent and say something about it? And he goes, sure, but or you can't anymore. Now he's a mailman. And Jay kind of gets this look on his face like, oh, because it's Agent K.
Agent K, played by Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones. So Jay goes Tommy to this Lee. Post office in Truro, Massachusetts, to talk to Agent K. Again, Tommy Lee Jones, who's they reveal his real name is Kevin Porter.
Yep.
And he's the postmaster. Yep. So Jay tries to tell Kay that he's a member of the Men in Black, but Kay doesn't believe him at all. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. So Kay does not believe him. Jay goes in the back where everybody's working, and Kay's like, hey, you guys need to lock this down. Get him out of here. You know, we got a civilian back here who shouldn't be. Jay, he kind of holds up his little scanner thing at Biz Markie.
Yeah, one of the workers played by Biz Markie.
Biz Markie. And he starts kind of like beatboxing at him.
Right.
And Biz Markie starts beatboxing back and then does it with the other workers.
Right.
And then they all reveal that they're aliens.
Except Biz Markie doesn't really reveal that he is.
No. Well, he's Biz Markie.
Right. He's got what you need.
Yes.
But you say he's just a friend. No. But you say he's just a friend. Keep going.
That's when he reveals. He says, yeah, most of the Postal Service is like aliens.
Yes. So, and we have a listener on our podcast that he has his own podcast, Tom from Tom and Jim's Top 5.
Yes.
Tom, if you're listening to this, just come out as an alien.
Yeah, man.
We already know everyone in the USPS is an alien.
Yeah. If it would feel better, we could beatbox something
to you. We could beatbox. You want us to beatbox something? We'll do it. If that will help you.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe you're a Men in Black, you know. Operative. Who knows? All those alien sightings in Duluth, Minnesota.
There you go.
Who knows? Keep going.
So now Kay is just stunned. So he goes outside to his truck, is trying to get away. And Jay tells him, look, I know you stare up at the star. I know why you stare up at the stars. And you feel like you understand more about what's going on up there than down here. And I know that's why your wife left you. Because that was, he went off to be with that lady in the first one. And of course, he punches Jay right in the face. And Jay's like, okay, I'm going to give you a minute to think. So he takes off. And he's just waiting in the car. And Frank's like, well, what do we do now? And he goes, just wait. And so finally, Kay shows up. And it's like, all right, I'm just going for a ride with you. But, like, this doesn't mean anything. I just want to understand. You're going to help me understand myself. So Jay takes Kay back to Men in Black headquarters. And everybody's just in love with Kay. And Jay at this point is kind of like chopped liver. They're like, it's Kay, the most feared human in the universe. And everything. Like, they,
yeah,
they love Kay.
It's like he's a special Kay.
So Zed talks with, he's talking on the intercom with Michael Jackson.
Right. Michael Jackson shows up. Michael Jackson was a big fan of the Men in Black first movie.
Yeah. Well, it says prevented some sort of an invasion at the South Pole. And then he was like, so do I get to be an agent now? And, of course, Zed's like, huh, you're breaking up and whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, personally, I think that they they just had him go to the South Pole because he's probably safer being around a bunch of penguins than a bunch of children.
Okay, yeah. That's your joke that you have.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Mine is the definition of irony that Michael Jackson is in a movie called Men in Black 2. What? Because black, white? Never mind. Keep going.
What?
You know, because, oh, is Michael Jackson black and white too? Go ahead. So two failed Michael Jackson jokes in a row for you people. But Michael Jackson's an alien. He was an alien anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they said that in the first one. And they even say something about, like, I have to see something about affirmative action.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, oh, that's weird. This
cameo just distracted me.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It was bizarre.
So Zed sends Jay and Kay off to deneuralize Kay. They're going to bring his memories back. Frank, they said, well, I need those two together. You know, you're not his partner anymore, but you get to be my personal assistant now. So now the dog is his personal assistant.
Okay.
Sure. So while Jay is deneuralizing Kay, Serlina shows up and basically invades headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Starts taking everybody out, and they go to lockdown protocol. Mm. So, they are going to get flushed, is what he calls it. So they haven't deneuralized Kay. But Jay is like, have you ever been... Kay's like, what is flushing? What does that mean? He goes, have you ever been to a water park? And he goes, I don't think so. And he turns and looks at Jay, who's holding his breath.
Right.
And so it's kind of a funny scene because he's looking at him, who's holding his breath, and he goes... And you see Kay hold his breath, too.
Uh-huh.
And then they... Basically, all this water comes and flushes them down this tube.
It looks like a toilet.
Yep. That takes them out to the street.
Yep.
And there's this fun little, I think a funny little exchange where Jay is like, oh, yeah, you used to love this. You'd be like, Jay, flush me again. And I'd be like, no. It was... I love when they do those little moments. I like the interaction between Jay and Kay.
So right.
They play well off each other.
Right. In fact, up until the movie, up until we reached Tommy Lee Jones, I wasn't quite enjoying this movie.
Yeah.
This movie was missing something, and when Tommy Lee Jones came in, I was like, boom, there it is.
Yep. So Frank... It turns out is still in the headquarters, and he actually got out of the way in time, and he's hiding. He is keeping Jay and Kay informed of what's going on at headquarters. So in the meantime, they have to find another deneuralizer to bring Kay out. So there's a few years ago, the plans actually got leaked online. And so they think that they might be able to find one. They found one in town. It was a unit being offered by Jeebs, who is the he was an alien in the first movie, whose head can get blown off and it regrows. Played by Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yep. In Tony Shalhoub, who looks freaky.
Yeah, like all of his body parts, his nose, his ear, they look like Mr. Potato Head body parts.
Yeah, it looks really awkward. And one of his eyes is like lazy and like.
Do you know what I mean? It looks like a really bad Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, which I think it's supposed to. He's supposed to look like he's wearing a cheap whatever.
But again, we have Tony Shalhoub playing and hiding his face and kind of like using his skills as a voice person.
Yeah. So they go to Jeebs, and he has the deneuralizer that does not look nice like the other one does. It looks like an electric chair, basically. In the meantime, Serlina, while they're getting that set up, Serlina is releasing several aliens. They're criminals, and she's basically sending them out there to hunt down J and K.
Can we go back when they go into the headquarters? You see the kiosks. And you see the Sprint kiosk.
Yeah.
The Burger King kiosk.
Yes.
These are just product placements. Correct?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And if you see it, there's like a couple of the aliens who are at like the counters up front are eating Burger King.
Yeah.
Serlina is eating a lot of Burger King fries throughout the thing.
I hate all of this.
Yeah.
I hate this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think it's an interesting touch that she's, like, constantly eating. Like, she has to constantly be fed to keep her mass, like, in check. Or basically, she burns a lot of energy like that. But
so then she can puke it up like she always does, Laura Flynn Boyle.
Jeez.
What? I don't like her. I don't think she's a great actress. What?
It's okay.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Sorry, I was a little mean to you, Laura Flynn Boyle. Look, I'm sure you're a fine person. I'm sure she is.
Oh, I'm sure. So
I don't like your acting.
So now they go to deneuralize Kay. And they run the machine. And it's junk. And, of course, it zaps Kay and shoots him across the floor. So he's just laying there. Jay and Jeebs go to check in on him. And he blows Jeebs' head off. And Jay says, oh, you're back. Like, how'd you know? And he goes, no, I'm not. And he goes, well, how'd you know his head would grow back? It grows back? And so...
Do you know how they found his place? Because he went on the internet?
Jeebs.
They asked Jeebs. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for mooning that joke, Jeremy.
As soon as I said Jeebs the first time, I could see the wheels in your head turning.
Ask Jeebs.
So
all your alien questions.
Kay storms off. Like he leaves. And Jeebs goes, man, Jay, I genuinely am sorry. Like I wanted this to work. I'm so sorry. You know I would do anything for you guys. And then just about then, the bad aliens bust in and Jeebs sells Jay out away, points to where he is. And so they get in a little bit of a gunfight, but then they overtake Jay, and so they knock him down on the ground. In the meantime, Kay is outside, and he's looking at the world around him, and he sees all these aliens that he's never noticed before, like things with like little eyes poking out of places, or like a mailman who's a little tail sticking out of part of his leg.
Tom. I think that guy that was played by Tom from Tom and Jim's.
It was. Okay. And then he's just
let us know, Tom. Let us know if you're an alien. It's fine.
Okay. It's, you have to give us a signal. You use some sort of a catchphrase,
like a beatbox.
Yeah, use some sort of a catchphrase in one of your episodes.
Yeah, in one of your episodes,
put a beatbox in your episode.
Like say, Jim, I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes. That way, we'll know.
Yeah,
that you're an alien.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Kay is seeing all of this, and I think seeing the aliens he hasn't noticed before starts to bring things back faster. So inside, Jay's about, they're going to bend him, which I assume just means, like, break him in half. When Kay starts blasting the aliens, and there's this part, this is one of the few parts that I really am like, ugh. He comes in and starts kicking this one alien in the crotch over and over, and nothing happens. And Jay goes, Kay, he's a Balchinian. And he pulls down a scarf. And he's got balls on his chin.
You think that's just a cheap joke?
I think it's a very cheap joke.
You think it like it's just like it's like someone's kicking someone you in the balls. That's how cheap.
Yeah,
a joke
like
it is.
Kicking me in the chin balls. Yeah.
Ooh, chin balls.
No, like I hate when if he would have said anything else, like no, it's whatever, and pointed to his chin, like. But the fact that the alien is called a Balchinian and the balls
I
are on
it was
his
a
chin.
Balchinian.
Balchinian.
Are you sure it's not a chin ballian? That would make it funny, Jeremy, if it was. Balchinian, not so much.
That's true. But I'm just going to like, ugh. And so Kay leaps into the air and kicks him in the
Balchinian.
Yeah, on his face. Like some sort of pissed off French soccer player.
Oui, oui.
Bon anniversaire. After he beats all the aliens up, they leave. Turns out, Kay still doesn't remember everything. He must have neuralized himself to hide where the light was years earlier.
Can I say Tommy Lee Jones's looks in this movie, when he's not talking, are great.
Yeah.
I love his body language in this. It's wonderful.
I agree. And so he hid everything years before. And so that neuralization, when that was deneuralized, it's going to take a long time for that to come back since it's been over 20 years. Kay insists on driving the car, which, you know, Jay is like, no, I drive the new, because it's a new fancy car. You drove the old busted ride. I drive the new hotness. Old busted, new hotness.
Got it. Oprah, yeah. Uma.
Yeah.
Joke didn't work.
Yeah. Keep so going. Kay still wins, of course, and he ends up driving. So Jay thinks that they're going to Men in Black headquarters to save everybody. Like, Jay just wants to go in guns a-blazing. Kay says they're not going in there because they need me, and so they're invading to set a trap to bring me in. They instead go back to the pizza shop to talk to the witness. So when they get to the shop, Jay realizes, they see this picture on the wall of Ben, and there's this weird, like, mark on the picture.
Also, Jay realizes there's no customers at this pizza shop. Did she close it after the guy died? Did she hire anyone else? Is she the only one running this? This is stuff I want to know, not Jay.
Yeah. Well, I mean... their sales really fell off after the Ninja Turtle boom ended.
Oh, that's true. That pizza craze.
Yeah. Everybody was eating pizza. It was the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, pizza.
Pizza. So.
Cab. Cab.
Cab. Pizza. Cab. So. Jay realizes that the picture. Like, this mark on it matches right. A mark that was on the picture that Jay showed him earlier in his from his suit pocket. And so he takes the picture, he puts it with Ben's picture, and realizes it was basically a clue. It's a clue to lead him somewhere. And so he goes, oh my gosh, you left yourself a series of clues. And so he's trying to figure it out. Well, in the meantime, Kay realizes it's pointing to a key that goes to the Grand Central Terminal, where they have lockers. They have a locker key. And, of course, Kay wants to neuralize Lara, but Jay convinces him not to. Instead, they're going to hide her because they're afraid people will come back for her. They hide her with the worm guys, Sleeble, Gleeble, Neeble, and Mannix.
You know their names?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Sleeble.
Daryl and his other brother Daryl.
Watch out for Neeble. He's the handsy one, though.
Yeah.
Jay warns her about them because they are creepy. They're like,
again,
they're like
fan favorites for the first one.
Yeah. And they only had like 2 seconds in the first one, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they brought them back. Fans love them. And of course, he's like, watch out for them. Like, they're handsy. And she goes, I've dated worse.
You've dated a worm person before?
Worse than the handsy worm person.
Okay.
Hashtag
me too.
Yeah, she probably needs that after the scene. Those worms. And they immediately, when Jay and Cave leave, they're like, Twister?
That's
going
come
nowhere.
Come sit next to me, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's going nowhere. Nowhere good. So Kay and Jay go to the locker.
They're voiced by Harvey Weinstein, right?
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Louis C.K. is one of them?
Louis C.K.
Who's that? No, I'm just going to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep going.
So they get to the terminal, and they use the key to open the locker. And when they do, there are these little furry creatures inside.
I don't even know what those things are.
No, I don't know. But they worship Kay because he gave them a watch that's lit up. So the watch has a countdown timer on it. It has about 59 minutes left. He also left them, they said they left him the tablet, which, like, with their principles they live by. Well, it's a video store card.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A rental card. And so he takes that, too. And they basically worship Kay. So, and then Jay gives them, they're upset because Kay took his watch back. Jay gives him his watch, so then they kind of worship him then, too.
Yeah.
Jay!
Yeah. Oh, Jay, can you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. So they take off. And they go to the video store then. So they have until midnight, so they're trying to do this quick. They go to the video store. Turns out there's an account there. It never rented anything, but it did reserve a video years ago. And it's the same video that we saw at the beginning of the movie.
It went all the way back. Like, that profile went all the way back.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But.
And so then you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah. Unless you actively purge that system, it's not going anywhere. Mm. So Newton.
Is that what the movie Purge is about?
Yes.
Taking all those blockbuster.
Purging excess data
like from Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Newton, the store, the video store manager, who is played by David Cross.
Another Mr. Show.
Yep.
Alumni.
Mr. Show guy. Yeah. He comes out
also
there.
Also from, the rest of development.
Yes.
Albert and the Chipmunks.
And all the Chipmunks.
Shipwreck.
Chipmunk movies and all the squeakquels.
Yeah.
Also in the Kung Fu Panda movies.
Also married to Amber Tamblyn.
Is he really?
Yep.
Nice. So, of course, Newton recognizes him right away as Men in Black, and they're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, sure you don't. And just kind of plays like he's, you know, this paranoid. He actually was in the first movie, too, David Cross was.
He was?
Yeah, he was.
It's been a while.
He was the morgue attendant.
Oh, okay.
And he gets killed by Edgar.
Okay.
Anyway, so they watch the video.
He's got a twin brother.
Probably.
Yeah.
So they start watching this video. And as they're watching it, because we've already seen it, so we don't need to focus on it. But as it's showing scenes,
yeah, but can we watch it again? I loved it.
Yeah, it's very
Peter Graves, come
and
on.
It's very like cheesy. It's got like things like held by strings going across the screen, and it looks cheap and everything.
Yeah, it looks like Planet Nine from Outer Space.
Yeah,
yeah.
But as they're seeing that, Kay starts remembering things, and like there's the scene where. Where the Kylothians, or where the Zarthans are bringing the light out to the Men in Black. And he goes, it wasn't daytime, it was night, and it was raining. Like, he's remembering the things now, it's triggering him. And he says that he actually sent the light away, basically when Serlina was asking for it. He sends it away, or sends the ship off, And so then Serlina starts shooting at them and kills Princess Lorana. So it's not like we saw on the show. Lorana gets killed there. And Serlina chases after it. But the thing is, Kay never actually sent it off planet. And it looks like he was emotionally involved with Lorana. Because he was upset when she gets shot. And actually, you see, like, this is a great Tommy Lee Jones scene. That he doesn't even have to say much. And you can just see tears. Like, you can see his eyes welling up with tears. Kay calls Lara. And he says, hey, do you have a bracelet? You know, and she goes, yeah. And because he had saw this bracelet in his memories. She says, yeah, I have this bracelet. He goes, is it glowing? And she goes, wow, yeah, but it's never done that before. And so he goes, she's like, okay, well, we're going to be coming for you, so get ready. And in the meantime, she's playing Twister with the worms, and of course, having a fun time because they're not bad.
Right tentacle yellow.
Yeah. So then they call Frank to say, hey, Lara's with the worm guys. We're going to go pick her up. Get ready for us to come in there. And Frank, you hear him say, yep, okay, well, you know, we'll be waiting. Well, it's actually Serlina doing his voice. She saw Frank and captured him. So she sends...
I didn't know that was a skill she had, but evidently apparently. That was... Yeah.
So she sends...
That was the best acting I saw Laura Flynn Boyle do. It wasn't even her.
Yeah, there you go. So she sends her guys out. And, of course, the agents get there. It's too late. The worm guys have just been blown apart, and they took Lara. So, and I didn't know. Like, the worms apparently can just go back just together.
Push themselves back together.
Yeah, which is fine.
We didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. And so they take the worm guys, and they all head to Men in Black headquarters. But first, they got to make a stop off. So they get to... Kay's old apartment.
Yes.
Which just has this giant arsenal in it.
Right.
And when they get there, there's a family.
Who lives there.
Yeah. And the guy, the father, is...
The director.
Yeah, Barry Sonnenfeld.
Yeah.
And so, but they end up flashy thinging them and then take off after they've gotten themselves all armed up.
Yeah.
So they blow a hole in the front door, which is dumb. Because it's pressurized, so everything gets sucked inside. And so when they get in there, they say, okay, let's go. They get in the elevator, they head down, and they realize there's probably a trap, so they all kind of get to the ceiling part of the elevator. It's a good thing, too, because she has sent out Gatbot, which is apparently another one of the, like an alien robot.
The alien robot.
Who looks like a little cylinder, but he... turns into, like, a series of guns that just blow holes through the entire elevator. So Jay heads to go get Lara while Kay covers him and starts kind of shooting the guns.
Can I tell you, I love that door guy, too?
Yeah. Who just sits
who
there.
Who just sits there and reads the newspaper and the, always sees who's coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Kay. Good seeing you.
And always seems to just know everything. Yep. Like, he knew that Jay neuralized T.
Why do I love that? I love, like, little bits like that.
Yeah, because just, it's fun. Yeah.
I love Dorman, you know, like, have jokes like that.
Like Lorenzo music.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Jay heads to go get Lara. The worms go to end the lockdown by shutting down the power. And then Kay goes to stop Serlina. So Kay, like, fires at Gatbot a few times, like, shooting some of his guns so Jay can get by. When Gatbot comes into the elevator, Kay drops a grenade on him and then flips out of the elevator. And so blows Gatbot up. So that's the end of him. But Serlina's there and, of course, catches Kay right away.
Right.
Jay runs into Jera, which is this one of the alien criminals who she didn't send him out. She just tasked him with building a ship for her to get away from the planet with. And he had been arrested by Kay. And so the only thing he wanted was to get a crack at Jay.
At Jay.
Yeah, to basically get revenge. And so he runs into Jera, and he's just kind of like a normal, he's like a creepy floating alien guy. Been building the escape ship, and Lara is like inside of it, ready for them to go. Jay fights Jera, which is actually four little aliens, like on these little hover saucers with like these clamp arms. Jera honestly was like one of the things that didn't work for me about this movie.
Agree.
I thought it was really awkward. Like he didn't.
Yeah.
I had no buy into him. It was.
I had no buy into it either. Yeah. I was like, you're going to defeat this guy. We're going to move on.
But the little ones fly around. He fights them off and he ends up beating them. But there's this kind of fun moment where he dives like out of the way and the last two Jera clone things crash into each other and blow up. And so the countdown is going, but Jay is on this pile of tubes.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to wriggle his way off of them. And it's just some like physical comedy
really
by Will Smith.
I feel like maybe Will Smith was just trying to get up and they're like, just keep it.
Yeah.
That was funny.
He probably awkwardly did it first and they're like, play it up. Or he just ad-libbed it or whatever. But some physical stuff by Will Smith.
Yeah.
Will Smith, I think, does some good physical comedy. But he just doesn't get that much of a chance to showcase it.
He does a lot of physical comedy in Six Degrees of Separation.
Ooh.
Funny.
Hilarious. So, Jay stops the countdown and saves Lara.
Can I go back? Our listeners, that is not a comedy. Anyway, keep going.
Yep. So he saves Lara. He stops the countdown. Kay warns Serlina to give up, or he's going to stop her. And she asks how he intends to do that. He says, well, I'm not going to, but he will. And she turns around right in time to see Jay blast her with like one of these cannons, and she just vaporizes.
Yeah.
And so they're free. So, well, most of her gets vaporized. There's one little bit that you still see on the ground.
Of course.
So they grab Lara.
You can't get rid of Laura Flynn Boyle that easily.
You're right. Just ask,
Jack Nicholson.
Anyway.
I asked her to leave a long time ago. She just kept coming back.
Why do I feel like she's not the villain of that piece?
I don't think she is either. I do not think she's... I don't think Laura Flynn Boyle is a bad person.
No, I don't either. So they grab Lara, and they drive to the launch point for the light. So as they drive, though, Serlina shows up in that ship that Jera built for her, and she's shooting at them. Kay is like, okay, we're going to make this car go faster. So like in the first one, you push the red button and you just kind of drove fast. This time around, it turns it into like a flying ship. And so this car is now flying, which Kay can't seem to get a handle on.
Kay shouldn't have a handle on it. This is a new car. He doesn't know.
Yeah. And it gives him a PlayStation controller comes out. And that's how you fly it.
What's a Game Boy?
He's like, have you ever heard of Game Boy? And he goes, what is a Game Boy? So
I thought it was funny.
So they're flying around awkwardly. I think it's cool too that the bottom of the car as it goes is flashy thinging people.
Oh,
that's,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was pulsing light.
Oh, nice.
It's flashing them as they go. Huh. Which also would have been a magic mic as well. So Jay is like, okay.
All right.
There's a couple moments with earlier in the movie, there was a joke where when the car moves, because it's like an automatic car, like you can pull it around. There is a like inflatable guy who comes out of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Who is basically there. So it looks like somebody's driving the car. So there's no suspicion. Well, it happens while he's driving. It pops up in front of Tommy Lee Jones.
With their flag.
Yeah, which I think is a funny moment, too, because Tommy Lee Jones then leans out behind the guy to talk. Yeah. But it makes it go away. And then Jay takes over. They're flying. He finally... Jay flies them into, like, the subway tubes. And Kay isn't sure why he's doing that, because now they don't have very much room to maneuver. Jay actually manages to get Serlina to fly straight into the maw of Jeff, who just eats her and the ship. So, problem solved.
You would think.
Yeah. So, the agents fly to the launch pad. Jay is ready to get the bracelet and launch it into space when Kay reveals that the bracelet isn't the light. Laura is the light. And Laura says she can't be an alien. Like, she's from Earth. She's
right,
human.
She can't be an alien. She was employee of the month. There's no way.
Well, Jay starts to notice things. Like, he notices, like, her little charm and, like, these other things were also symbols that were in Ben's restaurant. And he knows, oh, man, the clues have been in front of me the whole time. And you can see that he looks disappointed. Kay says she knows things before they happen. Which Laura says, no, but I'm a Libra. Which is odd, because I don't think being a Libra means that you're, like, telepathic or whatever.
No.
Clairvoyant.
No, that's Pisces.
Yeah. Kay says, when it's raining, you're sad when it rains.
Yeah, that's Scorpion.
And she goes, lots of people get sad when it rains.
Yeah, that's a Taurus.
He goes, it rains because you're sad. Pisces. But it rains because she's sad, which would go back to the beginning.
Which is in Aquarius.
Which an aquarium. When you go back to the beginning where Ben dies and she's crying and you see it raining.
Right.
That's why it's raining, is because she was sad.
Not because she's a Pisces.
Correct. Because she's an alien.
I don't remember that zodiac sign. Well, let me check the horoscope. What does alien say?
Alien Gonzalez.
Alien says 3 stars today. Says you're out of this world.
Terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Cover Uranus.
something big is going to come up. Cover Uranus.
Watch out for that Big Dipper.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jay, he's hit with that. You can just see he's crushed because he knows what has to happen now. They're going to have to send her off or else the world will end. Just then, Jeff pops up through part of the building. And Jay is like, Jeff, not now. Like, what are you doing? Well, looks like Serlina's not quite done yet, because Jeff just explodes.
Explodes, yeah.
And she's now this, like, giant stalk of asparagus.
Yeah.
And she has, like, all these tendrils coming out of her mouth. So Kay tries to rush Laura to the ship so that she can escape. But Serlina is going to attempt to grab her first. We see all these tendrils come out at her. Jay, though, jumps in the way to save her. So they grab him instead, and he's fighting, like, the little tendrils and, like, you know, choking them out and hitting them against each other just to make sure that, you know, he can stop them. Kay tells Laura how he felt about her mother and says that she's as beautiful as her mother was.
Yeah.
And Laura climbs in the ship and starts to take off. I thought it was a nice little touch. She's starting to go, and you start seeing, like, little bits of rain fall on the ship, on, like, the glass.
Okay.
So you can see that she's sad going away.
Or that it's raining.
Well, yeah, it's raining because she's sad. They just established that.
Oh, no, but what if it's raining because she's sad? Not because she's sad and it's raining.
But just because it's also raining? Could be.
Could be the pollution in New York.
They start blasting Serlina. And, of course, Kay's been shooting it here and there all along.
I mean, they're close to the harbor. It could be the pollution from New Jersey. But keep going.
New Jersey. So they blast Serlina until the giant, like, asparagus body dies.
Yeah.
But not before a final bunch of tendrils just, like, shoots out of its mouth and starts flying at the pod. It's like it's her last ditch attempt.
Yeah.
Jay and Kay grab their cannons. And are getting ready to blast it. And Jay asks Kay why he didn't tell Jay what was going on. Kay says, if I would have told you, would you have let her go? And Jade really doesn't need to say anything. You can just see it in his face that, you know, there was a possibility that he wouldn't. So they blast Serlina, which bursts, like, into a display of, like, kind of sci-fi fireworks as the ship flies away. And I think I would have hated this moment, like, in any other movie. Because, like, sometimes you're like, oh, God, fireworks, yeah. turn into fireworks. But in Men in Black, for some reason, I'm like, I'm okay with that. Because it could be any number of things. Like, I'm willing to suspend my disbelief for the sci-fi aspect.
Okay.
So Jay comes to a realization. He says, well, wait, Kay, you and Lorana were involved. And, you know, what did you guys do? And, like, kind of, I think he started to realize there's a possibility that she was Kay's kid all along.
Oh, Kay stands for kid?
No, Kay stands for Kevin.
Man, I didn't know what we were talking about.
No, that Laura is...
Sorry.
That Laura is Kay's kid.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would say right now, for that joke, I would say J.K. Just kidding.
I know what that means.
Okay.
My initials are J.K.
Oh, yeah.
Anywho, so back at HQ, Jay's getting ready for his day. What?
What's HQ stand for?
Headquarters.
Oh, God, I hate acronyms. I think they're so BS.
So Jay and K are at the MIB HQ. Jay's getting ready. K sits next to him and says, hey, look, it's going to be okay. And Jay is
and
telling
he says,
him.
Yes, I'm K.
the whole letter confusion. What's going on?
Who's on first?
So he says it's going to be okay. And then Frank and Zed Bull show up to cheer him up.
Right. Okay. But like we didn't see like last time we saw Zed was like he was talking to Laura Flynn Boyle's character.
Oh, yeah. He was fighting
but
her.
But then I was like, what happened to you? Like, where were you?
I think
I thought Zed was dead, baby.
Zed's dead, baby. No, I thought she just had him trapped in his office.
Okay.
Back at HQ or so now they, you know, he's telling everybody, look, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I just want to get back out there on the street. He opens up his locker, and the little Grand Central aliens are in his locker now. And he's like, he's like, Kay, did you do this? And he goes, yeah, I brought him over. I thought they would give you some perspective that there's more to the world outside, whatever. And he's like, no, what we need to do is we need to get those little guys out of the locker and show them that there's a bigger world out there. And then Kay's like, oh, you know, you newbie. Like, there's still so much you have to learn. And he kicks open this door, revealing they're in a locker inside a bigger terminal.
With a bunch of aliens walking around.
Which is kind of, I almost, like, this one, I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Because it made more sense in the first one.
More sense in the first one, yes, correct.
Because they were talking about the galaxy was just marble-sized.
Right.
This galaxy was marble-sized. Well, then at the end, you see that our galaxy was like a marble to some giant, bigger alien.
Right.
And they were playing marbles with them.
Right.
And so that, I was like, oh, makes you think. This one, I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
but
great.
How did we... I mean, we have a whole world inside that locker.
Yeah, like, I was like, whatever. I don't get that.
Yeah, that one didn't work for me as
well. No, it shouldn't work for you. It didn't work.
They were trying, but it just didn't work as well.
So you would say?
The end.
You've been deuced.
So,
this movie. That's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we?
Yeah.
Sara Vardy gave it a 10 out of 10. Said solid entertaining sequel with magnificent eye candy. Oh, shit. That's for Magic Mike XXL.
Oh.
No, it's not. I'm just joking. Okay. On one of the coolest looking sequels ever, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones find themselves back in action as secret agents J and K, protecting the Earth from the scum of the universe. Just like part one, the theme song, Black Suits Coming, makes you move your feet. The effects are top notch. The miniature galaxy inside the locker, subway eating worm, the post office workers, etc. And the general feel just makes you smile. Sure, it's nothing too deep or too inventive as the first one, but it's solid, entertaining sequel with magnificent eye candy. Let me see you nod your head. Black suits are coming.
Nod your head.
All right. This one is Flex Eye King. They give it a 1 out of 10, and they say, ouch. When I was 14, I watched the British film called Leon the Pig Farmer, a truly awful movie that left me with a strong desire to hurt people, especially those responsible for it. For 7 years, this was the top of my worst ever list, and I doubted that it would ever lose that dubious honor. Then, on a rainy night in Budapest, I went to the cinema with two beautiful girls to watch MIB2.
Lies.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have a new winner. Without a doubt, this was the most terrible thing I've ever seen. And I saw Kathy Bates naked and about Schmidt. I don't say this lightly, as I'm definitely a glass is half full kind of guy. Always look for a redeeming feature. But Men in Black 2 has none. Anyone who was involved in making this movie should be ashamed, as I cannot stress highly enough how dire it is. I'm just glad that I paid Hungarian prices to see this and not British prices. Avoid all at all costs.
All of that sounds like...
Including Hungarian costs.
All of that sounds like lies.
Oh, I know, but it's fun to read.
Yeah. I think that's a bunch of shit. And if you did go to the movie with two beautiful women, I'm guessing it was your mom and grandma.
Well, they're beautiful.
I don't think they are. In
Budapest.
By Budapest standards. His mom and grandma? Probably not. Anyway.
Maybe the subtitles didn't quite get what you're doing. In my opinion, it's hard to hate this movie.
Yeah.
And hard to like this movie. I'm torn between this movie. It's very flat 5 for me.
So there's parts that work and parts that don't. I love kind of the world that was created for Men in Black. I think that this movie does not work as well for me as the first movie did.
No.
I've heard the third one is good.
Okay. I you know what? I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't.
Because I would remember what's his bucket? Brolin. Yeah. I don't remember.
I heard he's amazing as Kay.
Okay.
I love the world that was created for Men in Black. I really do.
And I think I have seen this. I was in Budapest with two beautiful women.
Oh.
Okay.
I love the world. I think that's my favorite part. Like, I'll just transition to the 5 questions. My favorite part is the world of the Men in Black. Like, I love that there is so much, there's almost like your K before that couldn't see these aliens or didn't believe in the aliens. And once he kind of got deneuralized, then he was like, okay, he could see things that he didn't pay attention to before. I love that there's almost this concept of like the world, another world that we don't pay attention to.
Okay.
And like the weirdness in it.
Yeah.
I love that. But for me, in this one, it was like they were trying to recapture some of that magic.
Yeah.
And sometimes it fell flat. I do like Serlina. I really do. I know you disagree, but I do like Serlina. I kind of like the creature aspect of her. But I didn't like...
I'll give you the creature aspect, yeah. But the acting... No.
But there are certain things I didn't like. I hated Johnny Knoxville's character. I thought he was pointless. Which I don't... What even happens to him?
He is pointless. He is a pointless character.
What happens to him in the end?
I don't know.
I never saw anything happen to him.
He's pointless.
He was there and then he just disappeared.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He was pointless. All the other aliens they let out didn't look good. I thought they looked stupid. Especially like the fucking Balchinian. And clearly there was one that was just meant to look like poop. Because they make a you look like crap joke. It was stuff like that.
It's funnier when you say all of this.
Yeah. I was like that. And Jera just fell flat for me. Like, he wasn't menacing.
So your favorite part is the universe. Even though there's parts of the universe you don't like.
Yeah. It's like they were trying too hard to either make aliens that were tied into jokes. or like they were just trying to make menacing looking characters that fell flat.
To me, what didn't work was what hit, like the fan favorite stuff.
Yeah.
From the first, you used too much in the second, because you wanted, you're like, oh, they liked it. That's what happens with some of these sequels. They're like, oh, Urkel was cool, so we'll make Urkel the star.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, it's a TV show. Or you know what I mean? We'll make more of it than what it is. Do you know what I mean?
And Reginald Vell Johnson was never the same.
Look, I'm just saying.
Yeah, right? I gotcha.
And I don't like that. I feel like that's pandering.
Yeah.
I think that's pandering to the lowest common denominator. I think that you're using Burger King and Sprint as a way to just sell products. And I don't like that. I think that that takes away from the story, which could be a lot better, which obviously this universe can go vastly more than what it does. And it doesn't live up to that. Yeah. Having said that, Tommy Lee Jones is one of my favorite parts of this. But the second favorite part, no, that's, he's my second favorite part. The first favorite part are all the pregnant pauses that they use for comedy.
Yes.
It's my, it works.
Yes.
It works in this movie. When Tommy Lee, especially Tommy Lee Jones, when he looks like, what the hell are you talking about? Or like, come on. Those looks work. They work in the comedy department. They just don't work like hysterically enough.
Yeah.
To make this movie as well as the first movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely agree with you there. So, let's see. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, obviously they made a third one.
Mm-hmm.
They're also in talks to reboot it and have like a spinoff. F. Gary Gray would direct it, I think. It's like a spinoff of the universe. I don't know what. There's nothing I read about what it would be. It would be more of a younger cast, maybe passing the torch along. I don't know. There's also talks that they're going to do a fourth one. They also did what you said. They did a cartoon of it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see more of like the universe.
Yeah.
Like say, like you said, like when we did Hellboy.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
And maybe less of the whole, you know, agent things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I think they could do that.
Yeah.
If they did it, though, I'd want them to be away from Earth. Like, I want to see somebody going through, like, the expanded universe, maybe. Not just, like, Earth's perspective.
Right.
Yeah,
maybe.
Then is it too much like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, probably.
So,
but hey, it's working for Marvel. It might as well work for... Yeah.
So, I said continue. The spin-off thing is a spin-off thing.
I'm saying continue.
But you know what, though? I'm saying, like, in the... Like, if they did a fourth one... Because, obviously, Will Smith, you know, he's been doing other things. He's done more dramatic stuff. I don't know if Tommy Lee Jones would have anything to do with it, though.
Maybe I don't want to continue. Maybe, go ahead.
So I said, continue it, but obviously it's many years later. Focus on an agent who has worked his way up, who we've seen, who was young at the time, a fresh-faced agent, and now he's gotten more of a chance to be out there. Make Nick Cannon...
No.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
No.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Have a whole drum line with him? Come on.
What? No, like, I thought he's been in the movie, and then you can go back and be like, oh, look, there was an agent who was in these earlier movies, and now he is this big thing later on. Like, people work their way up the ladder.
This could save Nick Cannon and kind of push him a little further.
I think Nick Cannon does a fine job with stuff.
Give him someone to play off with, and maybe it could work.
Yeah, but I would make Nick Cannon the serious one, though.
Look, this came out in time when Will Smith was still, like, branching into that stardom outside of
I think the first one was...
I think so, too.
I think the second
this was almost his beginning of, like, I'm trying to become more of a dramatic actor and less, like, I want to do stuff that's meaningful.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get those hits and misses with Will Smith. And I think now you're kind of getting more caliber stuff with him.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, Collision and, you know, Ali, but whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I think so. Now, do you think this stands on its own?
No.
I don't either.
There's too much of a universe to make it stand on its own.
Although, if this is a kind of movie that could have, with a little tweaking.
Yeah.
If the thing was around, hey, we found you as a character, you don't know what's going on, but we're going to tell you the backstory as you remember things. Basically, as he's filling in his memory, it could have been a standalone movie, but the way it's built where we have Jay and the focus on him, I just don't think it works as a standalone.
Can we have like a young agent, Nick Cannon or whoever?
Yeah.
And can we have like an older agent, not older, but like a kind of a little bit more seasoned? And can he be played by David Harbour?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because I think he has that, like, very dryness.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of Tommy Lee Jones in a way. Where with his comedy.
And you know what? If you want J or K around one of those things, then why not make them the new Zed?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
fine.
Because obviously Zed's not there.
So. Yeah. Zed's dead, baby.
Zed's dead, baby.
Oh, ripped horn.
So sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, does this make you want to watch the first movie?
I think it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too. It makes me want to also.
Yeah. It makes me want to watch the third one too.
Yeah. I like the universe. So like, even though that this one is, I think, not having seen the third one, this one's probably the weakest of the series, I'd bet.
I would say so.
But even then, I don't hate this movie. Like, even though there's a lot of
parts, you like it more than me.
There's a lot of parts that fall flat for me. I love the universe, so I'm willing to like ride along with it and see it get better. So until we get
if
to
this
the next
was
one.
The movie that ended the franchise, I would hate Men in Black.
It was the one that ended it for a long time.
That's what I mean. Like, if they didn't make a third one, and it, like, if that third one wasn't good, and this was the one that they ended on, I'd be like, I hate Men in Black.
Really?
Yeah. Because you like this better than me, but that's just me. Go ahead.
Yeah. What were two words that summed up your...
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I wrote that down. Hold on. Believe yourself.
Believe yourself.
Yeah, because this movie did... There was a part that I did like towards the end when it was all like... When he was like... Kay was saying, you know, be who you are. You're this alien that's supposed to save...
Yeah.
You know, and have this light. It was kind of like him saying, I need to believe in myself, as like, I was this agent, and we must believe in ourselves. Yeah. So, yeah, mine is believe yourself.
Nice.
Yeah.
I said busted hotness, because there's a whole, like, new hotness, old busted, new hotness thing.
Why did you like that joke?
I did. I said busted hotness. Because I think that it was playing it up like, I'm the new hot thing. Just didn't work for me. Like, once we got past that point of being like, hey, old guy, it's me, new guy. Like, then it's, I like when they work in tandem and it's not like the, as much of the like, you're old and I'm young kind of jokes and back and forth. When they just treat each other like, hey, we're partners.
Tommy Lee Jones needs to be in. If Tommy Lee Jones wasn't in this movie, I'd be upset.
Agreed. I don't think Will Smith could carry Men in Black by himself.
No.
And he either needs to have...
In fact, I was bored until Tommy Lee Jones came out.
He either needs to have a Tommy Lee Jones or a Brolin playing a Tommy Lee Jones.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It needs to be something. Yeah. Yeah. And not James. It's got to be Josh.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love in movies where somebody plays somebody else, like Josh Brolin plays the young.
How young? Because we saw a picture of him in 1979, and it was just they outgrayed his hair. That's all. Yeah.
The young Tommy Lee Jones, or like how Joey G. Lev plays a young.
plays in young, Looper?
In Looper, he plays a young. What's his name? Never mind.
Bruce Willis,
thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't think of it either.
That was train jumped the tracks.
Sorry.
the
God, it was just unbreakable. I couldn't think of it. where can people hear our lovely podcast?
Probably in their nightmares.
In their nightmares is correct. All right.
You can hear us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Careful behind you.
You can hear us on iTunes.
Your nightmares.
Google
are
Play.
There.
Or Stitcher.
Stitcher. Like stitching you up in your nightmares.
Okay. And then, of course, on our Facebook page.
Facebook Nightmares.
And you can find us on Twitter now, at Deuce Podcast.
Hashtag nightmares.
So definitely check us out there.
Yeah.
Now, the next ones we have coming up, we're going to have a couple of them that come out pretty quick.
Yeah, we're going to have your choice, my choice.
Yep, we're going to have our
guest choice, probably. Well, yeah. Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll probably do, Bradley and I both picked some movies that we wanted to put out there, so we're going to show those. And then
yes. Two choices that have so much in common.
So
I
much.
Would say so.
Whatever. They are
polar opposites.
I think they speak. They speak a lot about us as far as movies.
I would think so too. Yeah.
So all you need to know about us.
Yeah.
So we have those ready to go. And then we have some series coming up that we're planning, kind of lining up. But other than that, just look out for our next Brad pick and Jeremy picks to come up.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy. And remember, folks, the sequel is king.
Worthless to her, she be tripping like threatening me and my men's trying to get the light.